Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for blessing us to be able to share this with our brethren and encourage them for the days to come and show them how to get there, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been talking about the refuge, the wilderness refuge. And first I'd like to say that, as I've said before, that there is no refuge for those who are not in the spiritual refuge of Jesus Christ, abiding in Christ. That's the main refuge, and wherever you are, that's a safe place as far as the kingdom is concerned. Okay. But also, there are places that God has chosen to be physical refuges for the purpose of people being able to raise their families in a quiet place while they train up, like Jesus did in the wilderness, disciples to go forth and bring the gospel during our tribulation. So, with that in mind, I'm going to talk to you about the physical refuge somewhat and what spiritual preparations we should make in order to be able to go there. And this first revelation was given to Eve Brast back in 2008, and it's still very accurate, obviously, and I'd like to share it with you. But first I'd like to say that no one is making any claims to fame concerning this dream. It shows spiritual pictures using UBM's broader internet, TV, radio, church, getting ready to go into the wilderness. And in these pictures, the relationship of the man-child, bride, and the rest of the remnant church is explained along with each respective work. So, Eve said, I had a dream that I was in a small building that was a church. It had white walls and a white ceiling. And I believe this represents a church clothed in righteousness. The church, actually, the called out ones. Right? There are many who are not coming out, which can't rightly be called the church, because that's what it means. Church means the called out ones. The front door was in the back of the church. It was a small, single, white door. This door led from the side of a shopping mall hallway to the white church. Well, Christ is the door into the sheepfold, as John 10 speaks about, and he's the door into this white church, which, notice, leads away from the shopping mall, representing Babylon's merchandising of buying and selling, and it goes to the white church. Of course, that's where we're all coming from. We're coming out of that apostate religious system and going to the white church. In John 10, Jesus called his sheep out of the sheepfold of Babylonish Judaism and into a white church, meaning called out ones. Eve went on to say, and there was a flight of red metal stairs leading down into the sanctuary. Well, I believe this represents humbling steps that are washed in the blood in order to enter a white church. Makes perfect sense. The front wall of the church was actually the back and was open. There was no wall. Well, I think that means that this church is contrary to Babylon. What is behind them is ahead for them. For they have decided to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. Jude 3. We reverse directions when we come into the white church. What is up to them is down to us, and what's down to them is up to us. And what is forward is backward to them. We have placed no religious wall between us and what was given behind us. Even from the beginning, God's people don't do that. The sectarianism that's divided up the church is just a lighter version of faction. Jesus said, I pray that they may be one as we are one. And Isaiah 30 and 19 says, for the people that dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, which is the bride, right? Thou shalt weep no more. He will surely be gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, which everybody's got to go to their cross, right? Yet shall not thy teachers be hidden any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Yes, what happens when God's people leave Babylon and follow Moses into the wilderness, or the man-child into the wilderness? Okay, it's a change of teachers, right? And verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. There it is, it's behind us. Saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So we face where we need to go, which is behind us. That's why this church is situated this way. This is the way, walk ye in it, and when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. So we have to all be facing what we first received back there when Jesus formed the church. Everything else is apostasy. They preached it was going to be a falling away, and it was. And it is. And so there was no wall. It just opened out into an empty parking lot. And of course, our church is not attended physically in the flesh, except for the local assembly, but the church is a much larger entity, you know. We reach out to people spiritually by radio and internet and some places TV. And there, she said there were about 100 people in chairs facing the back of the church, which was actually the front. Yes. Well, I believe 100 represents fullness, like 100%. We're all returning where we came from, and the rest will fall away. She said we were all singing praise to God without a music leader. Well, personal, heart-led worship in spirit and in truth is what Jesus commanded. You know, we're not talking about a physical thing here. We don't have to be led to do this, or we don't have to be in church to do this. We can do it all the time. There was just a gigantic screen on the wall to the right of us. Well, many join us by internet, computer screen, or TV screen, or they watch our videos, right? Eve said, as my children and I were worshiping with our hands raised, Cindy, a friend of mine and a member of our local Bible study, which was back in 2008, right, came through the white door and down the flight of stairs, which was washed in the blood, the feet washed in the blood, right? And found me along the aisle. Cindy means light. And the true children of light will come out of Babylon through the door of Jesus and into the true church. How neat, right? She said, I know I'm late, and many people are. Those who are waiting until now are late for the wilderness, because it's almost upon us here. I had a time with my kids, so I just left them at home. Sounds bad all first, doesn't it? I just left them at home, but I just don't care anymore. I just had to come. I know I'll find grace for this. Well, those who were considered spiritual fruit in Babylon will have to be left behind when they resist. And those who come out from among them will find grace. Very clear. Eve said on the screen there were colors that reacted to our praise by moving around. David Eales would come on the screen and teach us through the screen normally. And of course, we teach through the internet, radio, TVs, and videos. But this time, he surprised us all by showing up in person. And this appears to be a personal invitation to come and follow the Davids into the wilderness, as it was with Jesus and his disciples. He came out on the stage and stood at a podium. I, that is Eve, was all of a sudden standing behind him on his right. I believe this is the spiritual place of the bride, which Eve represents. As you know, Jesus, the man-child, who was in the body of the son of David, led the bride. John the Baptist said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. He led the bride into the wilderness. History always repeats. All fell quiet, she said. He spoke two words and then turned around and walked out behind or underneath the staircase. As I, that is Eve, was left standing on the stage facing the people, they all began turning to one another, murmuring against themselves, and consulting with one another, and began to slowly leave out the back, out the front, which was the back of the church. And they dispersed out into the parking lot, which was empty of vehicles. Well, let me say this. The murmurers have been leaving since shortly after that day that Eve had this dream. It's been right on. The murmurers, the faction, have been leaving. And this has to happen. I asked the Lord one day, Lord, why are you doing this? You know, and he said, well, you don't want these people to go into the wilderness with you, do you? Well, no, that would be hell on earth, I have to tell you. Well, God is weeding them out now. They're murmuring, complaining. Okay, but also let's say that Genesis 3:20, and the man called his wife's name Eve, and Hebrew, Hava, living or life is what it means, because she was the mother of all living. Well, that doesn't leave much room for pre-Adamite man, since Adam also was the father of all living. He made of one all men to dwell on the face of the earth. Forget about pre-Adamite man. That's a delusion. So God has chosen the bride company for the last Adam, Jesus Christ, who lives in the man-child company, represented here by the David ministry. And this will happen very soon. The bride is chosen before the last 7 days or years, like the 70th week of Daniel was a week of years, right? So the bride is chosen before the last 7 days / years, which are the marriage feast. Remember the marriage feast in which the bride is chosen, and there's 7 days of feasting before going to the groom's home. The groom's home is at the end of the 7 days. So after this time of the bride chosen at the beginning of the marriage feast, the whole party, after the time of the marriage feast, the whole party is escorted by the virgins to the groom's home in heaven. And the people murmur because they are not happy to not be included in the bride company, but to be included in the true remnant church is still quite an honor. This is, I believe, a secondary interpretation of this. This parable is seen in the Song of Solomon and the Book of Esther. The remnant church leaves after the revelation of the new Eve to go to the wilderness tribulation. Let me say, there is a woman that goes into the wilderness in Revelation chapter 12. That woman is the church, the true church. Within that woman is another body, which is called the bride. This fits Song of Solomon, the Book of Esther, Psalm 45, and everything, every other type and shadow you can find. What they're saying in the church, the loosely called church, the false church, is that everybody's the bride. No, everybody has the position of the bride, but not everybody will manifest the bride. And that's what we're here for, is to manifest the bride. Yes, it was given to us at the cross. Everything was given to us there. Perfection, maturity was given to us there, but we don't all attain to it because we don't all walk by faith in it. It wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard. The word didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard. So then Eve says, the two words that David spoke were foreign. I didn't know if all the people understood what he said. I didn't understand the words themselves, but I knew that they had the opposite meaning of the words Terra Delphi. The opposite meaning. Well, these words were given to me many years ago in a revelation of the corporate body of the false prophet that's in the pulpits today, and how they pass on their own nature to God's unsuspecting people. The opposite of this is the corporate body of the true prophet, which is Christ in his first fruits, who will pass on the nature of Jesus to his saints in the wilderness. And I may share that revelation of the Terra Delphi before we're through here. After I watched everyone leave, I turned and followed David through the door, under the stairway, and into his office. Well, we know that the bride will have access to the council of the groom through the man-child. And remember what John said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And that was those original disciples that followed Jesus. They then went out into the wilderness and taught the rest of the body. And Eve said Cindy had left back up the stairs, out the small door and into the mall. Well, children of the light will bring the light to Babylon in a great revival. Isn't that awesome? That's exactly what Jesus did. He raised up the disciples who were said to be the bride. Then he sent out the bride to bring in the rest of the body. And the rest of the body, by the way, was in religious Babylon. Eve said there was a window that had been behind the stage in the church that looked like a store window on the other side in this shopping mall. So they're getting to watch what's going on under their noses, but they haven't entered in yet. Our small Bible study group was standing around in front of this window. Well, what many have seen in the window into our meetings through internet videos, audios, what they will turn and bring to the Babylonish church. David's office was next to the window with a small door that was open. Well, a door will open for the man-child ministry to bring the true gospel to the Babylonish church. Eve said there were about 10 chairs in his office. No books or bookshelves and no desk. It was a temporary step up with cubicle-like walls. Well, let me just say that books are no longer necessary, for the Word of God's law has been written on the heart of the man-child to instruct the bride. Books are not necessary. The anointing is there. The book is in the heart of the man-child. And 10 represents law, like the 10 Commandments. We're not talking about the Old Testament law. We're just talking about the law of God, you know, what God wants us to do, right? Eve said our group was standing around in the main hall of this shopping mall, and we were all talking about what we planned to do with the information that David had given us. That is, those two words that were the opposite of the Teradelphi. Teradelphi means earthly oracle. Yes, we'll look at that in a minute. They will bring the gospel they receive to Babylon in the coming wilderness tribulation. Yes, yes, the revival that starts first with the man-child, the bride, then comes to the larger church, which is history. This is how it worked in Jesus' day, and this is the way it's going to happen in our day, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. Things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Right? I said something to Tony about renting a U-Haul van, and he said, "Oh, I've already got that covered. A guy I know sold me one. I got it for a real good price." I told him that was good. In my mind, I could see this U-Haul, and it was very small. And I thought to myself, I hope that's going to be big enough. But Tony seemed satisfied with its size. And my thought is, little will be needed in the wilderness, for God will provide all. Yes, they took stuff out there with them, but most of it was gone by the time they got there. Eve said, the Spirit seemed to be telling me in the dream, or showing me, that Tony would be going alone without his wife and children. Well, Joseph, Moses, and Jesus entered the 7 years without their families, who came later because of their faith and obedience. And it's going to be the same with many of our families. So don't be fearful about that. Yes, it's true that they may have not come into the first fruits bride. Of course, the first fruits is the man child, but the first fruits bride, it's possible that they won't be there, but the church, the white church, will be. And it's quite a blessing. I looked at his face, and he told me about this U-Haul, and he was happy and excited, and we were all excited. Well, who wouldn't be excited if they knew that God is coming in his people in the great latter rain revival? How awesome. Whatever these two words meant to us, it was like we were all moving somewhere soon. I'll say again, the two words, Teradelphi, it was the opposite of this. It's not the earthly oracle that's going to lead them in the wilderness. It's the heavenly oracle. You know, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You're from beneath, I'm from above." Yes. Well, we all knew we were moving somewhere soon, but we all had to go home and figure out what to take and how to get there ourselves. Ellie and Matt were peaceful and calm and just talking with us and among themselves. And they were excited about the two words more than they were concerning about what to take. Yeah, because God is going to restore the leadership, the anointing, and truth that will cause the saints to walk fully in the steps of Jesus. So, I was not sure whether to pack anything or not. Well, what will the bride need in the wilderness, right? I felt a little lost. I walked back into David's office and through the outer door into the church, onto the stage. And as I was looking out onto the empty chairs in the parking lot, it was dark. It was dark outside during this entire dream. So let me say that greater darkness will be upon the world when the bride goes to the wilderness. It's going to be a time of darkness. Just before the wilderness tribulation, there's judgments going to fall in order to cause God's people to get up and leave and go to the wilderness. Be willing to leave what they have behind, especially the Teradelphi, the earthly oracles. David came up behind me and he told me that he had just received a revelation from the Lord that we needed to leave as soon as possible and get away from there. Yes, we must be in the safe place of abiding in Jesus Christ before judgment takes many away. He told me that he didn't know exactly where we were to go yet, but that he would let us know the next day. He told me that it was very important to only go with the clothes on your back. Only go with the clothes on our backs. He said this twice, and he patted my right shoulder with urgency. So the bride's provision and protection in the wilderness are the brilliant clothes that she wears, which Revelation 19:8 says are the righteous acts of the saints. And this is no less than being dressed up with Jesus. As in Romans 13:12, it says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Sindi, meaning light. The white church. Right? "Let us walk becomingly as in the day, and not in reveling and drunkenness, and not in chambering and wantonness, and not in strife and jealousy." "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Put on Jesus, the Jesus that came 2,000 years ago, not the Jesus they've made for today. He then went back through the door under the stairway. As I looked back out from the stage, Cindy, which means children of light, right, had returned and came back down the stairs and said, "Well, I tried to go home and think about what to pack, but I only packed a few things because it's just so overwhelming. And I know I'll receive grace for this." Yes, if we go without man's provision, grace will be our provision. And it was, you know, as it was with Jesus' disciples when he sent them out. He sent them out without their own provision, because he wanted them to learn faith. He wanted them to have the experience of knowing that God provides in their wilderness. Amen. I turned backward towards the parking lot, and there were 100 people sitting in the parking lot with sleeping bags, tents, coolers, and blankets. Well, the complete number, 100%, chosen by God to go into the wilderness is what this means. 100 people, 100%. They had gone home to pack whatever they could manage to carry, and were waiting for David to give the word. And, of course, the word was given here. And the Davids, as Moses, represent the man-child to guide God's people in the wilderness. Even as Jesus was a David, a son of David, and he took them into the wilderness and taught them and multiplied the fishes and the loaves, he became their provision in the wilderness. Even the word desert, in some places where that's used, is the same word for wilderness. I then took off to the right of the stage and building and was transported to Renee's mobile home. Renee means reborn. And she is in a mobile home, which means God's people will be pilgrims and sojourners. She is a longtime friend from high school. She and her husband were telling me how they had packed up their entire belongings into a large U-Haul and how hard it was to pack everything. Well, it is hard. It's hard work to bring our own provision. It's hard to pack it with you. It's better to have it when you get there, right? I was reminded that when we moved to Florida, we gave our house and appliances away. And some will have to leave many things behind. But God had provided us a home freely and everything freely. So, I mean, because we left and gave stuff away, God provided us everything on the other end. That's better than moving. Think about how the people of God were trying to pack up their carts and their backs and everything and bring their stuff into the wilderness while Pharaoh's army was behind them. And some of them, from what I understand from history, didn't quite make it. The hindermost of the people who were slowed down by their loads were killed by Pharaoh's army. That's history. I don't know if it's mentioned in the Bible, but that's what has been written. And it sounds to be right. We have dreams that are similar to that. Anyway, Eve said, they also told me Renee's mom was giving them a very hard time about moving. And I was then transported into the back of a minivan. Renee's mom was driving her around and really spewing all kinds of lies and deception out of her mouth to discourage Renee from going with us into the wilderness to the refuge, right? But Renee was staying strong and not allowing her mother to dissuade her. They couldn't see me sitting behind them in this minivan. Well, the world and the worldly church and the harlot, which is the mother, right, is definitely going to try to keep us from going into the wilderness. And of course the world will call God's people deceived fanatics, and the mother harlot does too. And then I was back on stage in the church. So this was a momentary vision, a revelation of what was happening as God's people were going into the wilderness. So, and I thought about Tony and his U-Haul and Renee and her U-Haul. Well, the small one that was easy on the sojourner and the large one that was hard, right? Cindy had even packed a few things along with all the people in the parking lot. Those who walked in various stages of the light is what these people represent. Various stages of faith and growth, you know. Eve said there was both dread and excitement in the air. We were all about to leave for the actual wilderness. And, of course, the refuge. I felt a little panicked and worried. Well, there is anticipation for the trials, and yet excitement to see God's miraculous provision in the wilderness. He said, I hadn't even gone home yet. I remembered what David had said to me as he had patted my shoulder. Don't leave with anything but the clothes on your back. The clothes on your back. Quote, unquote. After that, I woke up. So we really need only godliness as our provision from God. Amen. Okay, let me go back to this, the revelation that I received back before that time of the Terra Delphi. False prophets pass on their nature to those who listen to them. Words are spirit and they are life. Even the words of a false prophet, they're spirit and they are life. But that life is not the life of Christ. They recreate themselves in other people, right? So false prophets pass on their nature to those who listen to them. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the life, which means soul, Hebrew soul, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The soul of the flesh is in the blood. For it is the blood that maketh atonement by reason of the life. So men pass on their life, their soul, of the sin nature to their children through their blood. Christ passes on his life, his soul, and sinless nature through his blood. So how do we get the nature of his blood in us? Well, that's what Jesus said in John 6:53. That we have to drink his blood or we will not have his life in us. How do we drink it? Well, let me explain by using one of Jesus' signs in John 2:11. He said, this beginning of his signs did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. And the word sign indicates a deeper meaning here. In John 2:1-11, Jesus commanded the servants to fill the six, which is the number of man, water pots of stone, which was hardened to clay vessels, symbolizing man again, with water, symbolizing the Word, as in Ephesians 5:26, the washing of the water with the Word, right? And then he turned it into wine, symbolizing the blood in Matthew 26:27-29. So his nature, you know, he's turning the water that you put into your heart into his nature. In the parable of the sower, he sowed the seed, which is a word, he sowed it in the hearts, and it brought forth fruit, the fruit of Jesus, 30, 60, 100-fold, right? So the moral of the story is that we are consuming and being filled by the Word of God, and the Lord will turn it into the blood or nature of Christ. A clear confirmation of this is stated by John, 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, that is of the Word, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The opposite of fellowship, of course, is faction. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So there you have it. The blood cleanses you so that your blood, too, is cleansed, right? And John 6:63 says, "The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life." So the word creates the blood, which is the life or the nature. And then our words are spirit, and they have power, if received, to manifest our life in others. When you speak things into other people's hearts, it brings forth fruit, whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. But if it's God's word, it brings forth good fruit. If it's our words, it doesn't bring forth any good fruit. So John 7:38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water." Those are spirit words. The key then is to receive words as the scripture has said, so that we may pass on God's word, which recreates his blood or his nature in us. And another word creates another blood or nature. Haven't you seen cult leaders pass on their nature by their words? Their followers are just as nutty as they are. Haven't you seen apostate Christian leaders pass on a different spirit, preaching another Jesus with a different gospel, as Paul warned? Yes, we see that everywhere. They actually believe that what they're living and teaching is New Testament Christianity. And when you read the book of Acts, you can't find it there. How can they believe that? Well, their leaders have said, "The Bible has changed. I mean, things are different now." But the Bible itself says, "If you add to my word, I'll add to you the curses that are in this book." Well, they ignore that. And they've got another Jesus, another gospel. Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So many years ago, I had a dream that taught this. I was casting out demons in a church when I noticed that the church building was all of woodwork. The columns, the walls, everything was all wood grain. And it was all stained with blood. And I said to the people, I said, "I'm going to prove to you that this is not the blood of Jesus." And then addressing the blood, I said, "Go in the name of Jesus." And it disappeared. And many people are deceived about the blood of Jesus. It disappeared. And after this, I noticed on the pulpit a note. It was fluttering as if to catch my attention. And I knew that the pastor of this church had left me the note about himself. And it read, "I'm being groomed to be the Terra Delphi." The pastor was being groomed to be the Terra Delphi. The overwhelming majority of pastors out there are just like that. And the interpretation is this. All the demons identified this as a Babylonish church. Revelation 18:2. The woodwork symbolized the human nature. 2 Timothy 2:20 and Jeremiah 5:14. For men are symbolized as trees. The blood on the wood is the nature of another Jesus, given to the people through a different gospel, by a false prophet with a different spirit. 2 Corinthians 11:4. He is coming to maturity as the Terra Delphi, this false prophet. Terra means earthly. Delphi was a town in ancient Greece famous for the temple of Apollo and the Delphic oracle, his false prophet. There you have it. The Delphic false prophet. Earthly false prophet. And Apollo was the Greek and Roman god of light. healing, prophecy. Well, you can see that this destroyer, as it's called in Revelation, also claims to be those things that Christ really truly is. The Greek and Roman God of light, healing, prophecy, music, and manly beauty. Sounds very much like Jesus, but obviously the false prophet passes on his nature to worship a false Christ in the temple. And the earthly false prophet is in many pulpits today, reproducing after their own kind. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and pray for the truth, even if you think that you have it. Pray for the truth. Many people have, and God has guided them to us to give them just the pure word. So, the moral of this story is the opposite of the Teradelphi is what the prophet that is coming sent from heaven, not from earth, is going to do. They won't receive any credit for it because it's not them, it's Christ in them, the word manifested in them, which was freely given to them. And so, who can claim credit for what God does, right? Well, Father, we just ask for your mercy and your grace for your people who are caught up under the Teradelphi, the earthly oracles, and manifesting another Jesus, which is Antichrist. You're either for me or you're against me, Jesus said. And their people, you know, emulate the preachers, but don't emulate Christ. They love to dress up and look like the preacher and talk like the preacher and say the same things that the preacher says because they're listening to man and not to God. If they were listening to God, they would know that many of these things are false and not the church. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to open the eyes of your people, to prepare them for the coming wilderness. It's coming whether they're ready or not. The best thing they can do to prepare is put on the righteous works of the bride. The best. The bride will escape the hour of trial, not by flying away, but just escape it because they're not under the curse. Angels can protect and deliver. While the church, the larger church, is still under the curse because they've not put on the garments of Christ. And they will be going through the wilderness and receiving chastening and being attacked by the beast and the harlot and the factious people. And they will be going through the same thing that the bride's been going to leading up to the tribulation. The church is going to go through this in the tribulation. And Jesus is going to send forth Jesus, the Son of David, in the man-child, is going to send forth wise disciples, the bride, in order to teach and to show these things to the people of God, to bring them out from under the curse and into his marvelous light. Amen. And, you know, we haven't really tried to identify where wilderness refuges are because the Lord has shown us that the angels will guide people there. And in that way, you're not filled up with tares. It's like churches that do anything they can to get people in the door, whether they're good or bad, but really the church is the called out ones. The church is not the place for evangelism, it's the place for teaching the people of God. The place for evangelism is what the people in the church do when they leave the church and they go out into the world. That's what evangelism is. So, what have they done by bringing all kinds into their fancy churches and lure them in there by different physical means? They're filling the church up with tares. And in the refuge, you know, we've had people say they felt like they were supposed to. I will always tell them, I said, oh, don't you do it. Don't you do it. You'll just be a lot of trouble to yourself and everybody else if you're not sent here by God. Because a refuge is not a place for somebody that's not walking as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if they're caught up in their own ways and means and self-importance and all these things, and they just want to escape the judgment, how are you going to escape the judgment when you need the judgment? You need the cross. You need these things to be perfected. How are you going to escape it? God is still on the throne. So when they come here of their own will, and they decide not to conform to the Word of God, and after a while, you know, people that really have their own selfish ambition, their own idols, they get mad when you preach the Word of God. And the Lord turns, because of their unforgiveness, He turns them over to faction, which is like a reprobate mind, because they lose their conscience, they lose their, you know, will to follow the Lord. They've got a totally different Jesus. He's a Jesus that smiles on all their sin. And so, you see, that's what happens. And so we tell people, no, you better hear from God and not have a Balaam answer either. Some people have Balaam answers. And so this is a good word for God's people today. Lord, I pray that your people will receive this and understand what your purpose is in the days to come, and that, yes, you bring them to a place where they can be trained by your first fruits, trained up to go forth with the gospel, for we'll have a very short time to get the gospel out and bring in the harvest. And so, Father, we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Please continue to open our understanding, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Okay, saints, not sure, but we may speak about this again. God be with you. Please go and put on the garments of righteousness, right? Put on the garments of life, the garments of righteousness, the garments of Christ Jesus, which is His works in you. That's what you're going to need to bring, the clothes on your back into the wilderness. Everything else will be provided. You can't go anywhere that God can't provide you your needs. You just can't go anywhere like that. Anywhere God sends, He provides. If you go alone, you may not see the provision. If you go out of His will, you may not see the provision. So, repent. Go where God tells you to go. Don't go to a place because you think, oh, that's a good place to hide, because that's not what's going to happen. Thank you so much, saints, and the Lord bless you and be with you, and may all of you find the path of the Lord in Jesus' name. All right, good night. God bless you.